KBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. In San Francisco, President Biden is meeting with Mexico's leader in bilateral talks. Both leaders are discussing ways both countries can stem the flow of migrants and drugs like fentanyl at the U.S.-Mexico border. The CDC and FDA announced they are rolling out an additional 77,000 doses of the new RSV vaccine designed to protect infants against severe cases of the respiratory virus. ABC's Stephanie Ramos is in New York.
Respiratory illnesses typically begin first in the southern states and migrate up north. And the CDC and FDA say there are ongoing efforts to secure additional doses to meet the rising demand. Keep in mind, an RSV vaccine is also available to pregnant women between 32 through 36 weeks of gestation to pass on protection to their newborn baby.
Israel says it will allow small amounts of fuel into Gaza. It will be given to the UN to help support Gaza's water and sewage system. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Don't let biased out.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Amtrak plans to double its service from the Twin Cities through Wisconsin to Chicago. Starting next year, Amtrak will add a second daily round trip. Federal and state agencies and the railroads are working out the details. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's pleased with the progress made in the 2 years since the bipartisan federal infrastructure law was passed. In particular, she says all lead water pipes in Wisconsin are being replaced.
We're expecting to almost double the rate at which lead pipes are removed just in the next few years. And it's an example, again, of just a win-win-win for people who turn on their faucet. They want to know that their water is safe and clean.
Baldwin says rural Wisconsin is also benefiting from new high-speed internet. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW 97.9, the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. A hate crime homicide, hundreds of altercations between staff and inmates, and a serious rodent problem. Those are the reasons for recent protests at the Green Bay Correctional Institution in Alloway, where it's been reported that inmates have not seen the sun or been outside in over a year. Prisoners at the dilapidated GBCI have been on lockdown for 6 months. On Tuesday, Governor Tony Evers said the restrictions would be modified. The prison has been open since 1890, and recently lawmakers from both parties came together and asked the state to shut it down. A party host and two teens are being sued for their part in a bonfire explosion last fall. Several teenagers suffered burns after a drum of fuel was poured onto a fire by two teens, causing the explosion. The incident took place in the town of Maple Grove in Shawnee County last October. Homeowner Alan Aaron and the two teens were named in the suit. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons. Some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are. But we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
College hoops tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Head coach Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team will be at home tonight in the Kohl Center, taking on a team from Pennsylvania, Robert Morris University. The Badgers now 1-2 for the season after losses to Tennessee and the other night at Providence. Also in Madison, Camp Randall busy today with the final WIAA State Football Championships, Divisions 1, 2, and 3, competing for the state tournament trophy. NFL, Packers host the Chargers on Sunday, the kickoff at noon. Green Bay will be wearing those green jerseys with gold numbers from the 1950s that have been so popular the past 3 years. After a slow start, Packers running back A.J. Dillon seems to be back to his old self, Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I think he's done a much better job in terms of running with better pad level, finishing forward, breaking tackles. Certainly, I think that's going to be a big key in this game. I think, you know, you look at the Chargers.
That's the Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Ample sunshine expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 44. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear skies again, tonight lows around 30. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow, highs level off around 51. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 44.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And the most immediate piece of news, Wednesday night, there was a large group that started to protest around the Democratic National Committee headquarters in Washington, D.C., protesting on the war between Hamas and the Israeli people. They surrounded the building, and here are the reports of what happened. The building was put on lockdown. Inside was Hakeem Jeffries. He is the Democratic leader in the House. Catherine Clark, the number two, and Pete Aguilar of Texas, number three. Clark is from Massachusetts. About 10 other congressmen and candidates for Congress around the country in open seats, or seats that are not held by Democrats. Congressmen from Illinois, California, Michigan, and a lot of other states. One of the congressmen there said, it reminded me what happened of January 6th. Capitol police officers were brought in, suffering from pepper spray. They were pepper sprayed. They were cut. One was slammed against a garage door and punched in the face, a woman officer, female officer. Threw her against the garage door and punched her in the face. Here are some of the accounts, especially from Debbie Dingell, Congresswoman, Democratic Congresswoman from Michigan, a very fine Congresswoman. She reported the U.S. Capitol Police put out a report. They told her and the others, and then they put it out publicly, that the protesters moved dumpsters in front of the exit, all of the exits, to block congressmen from leaving, and they pepper sprayed our officers. That's a statement from the Capitol Police. Debbie Dingell said, quote, "This rattled me more than January 6th did. I was scared. Someone is going to get hurt as one of these things. They can get out of control." Well, tell me about it. A 69-year-old man who was marching in support of Israel in Ventura County, California, in Thousand Oaks, was the victim of a homicide. He was killed, hit in the face with a megaphone, fell down, hit his head, and died. The individual who did it to him was one of the anti-Israel protesters. He's being held on $1 million bond. He's been charged with homicide, and they're exploring whether to increase the charges and make them a hate crime. So Debbie Dingell is exactly right. Down in Tulane in Louisiana, a Jewish kid was punched in the nose and broke his nose. I'll tell you something. Dingell went on to say that she tried to leave the building through multiple doors, but the protesters had blocked them all, and an officer stopped her at the front and then pointed to a medic who was treating another officer who'd been wounded and pepper sprayed. Here is my view. These members of Congress and the candidates were trapped for an hour before the police evacuated them. What they did is they went to cars in the basement. The police somehow opened an escape route through the basement and they got out. There's one individual who was arrested among the protesters, 24 years old, Ruben Camacho, of Woodbridge, New York. He grabbed a female Capitol Police officer, slammed her against a garage door, and punched her in the face. You know, enough's enough. These people should be treated exactly as the January 6 protesters were treated. No more, no less. You pick out an officer, especially a female officer who's smaller than you, slam her around and punch her in the face, you should go to prison for some years, quite a few years. There's something like 1,000 protesters on January 6th who were charged. They were tracked down and charged. About 600 or 700 of them now have either pled guilty or been convicted. Some cases are pending. Everybody involved in this, who pepper sprayed a police officer, cut a police officer, punched a police officer, disobeyed a police officer, attacked them and taunted them, should be prosecuted. We've had enough of January 6 episodes. These protests that are now starting to spread, there are protests now, and there will be over the weekend in New York. They went and occupied Rupert Murdoch's properties, not just Fox News, but the Wall Street Journal, the New York Post, BNY Mellon, Bank of New York Mellon. That's not a Rupert Murdoch property, but it's a bank in New York. Many of the people, we have brought them into this country, given them visas, frequently student visas, and this is the repayment. That should not be permitted to continue. Anybody who is part of these anti-Semitic protests, where Jewish people who are counter-protesting peacefully, like in Thousand Oaks, California, and at Tulane in Louisiana, one killed, the other one with his nose broken. We don't want that in our country. If these people protested in countries they came from, they'd be put in jail. They try that in Egypt or Saudi Arabia, they'd be put in prison. The soft underbelly of Western liberal democracy is that you can protest under the First Amendment because you have the right to petition the government. But the right to petition the government does not include violently petitioning the government, violently protesting. It doesn't involve physically assaulting police officers. It does not involve disobeying police commands to stay away from certain areas, to not block exits, to not trap people inside. It's the right to peacefully petition the government. If a permit is required, it should be applied for. If it's denied, you don't assemble. Nobody says you can't write letters. Nobody says you can't write emails. You cannot write threatening emails. You cannot write violent emails. But this fellow, Ruben Camacho, who's now under arrest, in my view, shouldn't even be given bail. He should not be somehow a cause celeb for his side. And the female police officer will testify that he did it. It's hard to see a jury letting him off, and he should go to prison. He should go to prison. It was wrong on January 6th for those people to punch and stamp police officers, to hit them, drag them down the stairs. And here it's wrong to punch a police officer in the face. I'll tell you, the the breadth of these protests. Another one closed down the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge. That is not petitioning the government. That is a trespass. That is an illegal act. People have to start going to prison for doing this. They have to understand that when they come to our country, and we expect them to come in good faith, they have the right to express themselves on issues because we have a First Amendment. We're a free society. Where they came from, by and large, are not free societies. But they don't get to go get buck fever the minute they get here and beat up cops and assemble in mobs and try to intimidate people. And this is extending to our universities as well. At Harvard, there were 100 faculty members just now who wrote to the president and the deans saying that they felt that the policies that Harvard was just beginning to put in place to restrain anti-Semitism on campus was a violation of their First Amendment rights. Not all of them are from foreign countries, but many of them were. And I have a question. If somebody wanted to go to Harvard, it's hard to get in. So good for you if you get in. But once you get in, what if you're in one of their classes? What if they don't like you? What if your views are different from theirs? How are you going to be graded? How are you going to be treated? In California, there was one, in the state university, there was a teacher that told the Jewish kids in the class to get up and go stand in the corner to show that they were separate. This is happening all over the country. I think that these administrators should be very clear with people. We will have no anti-Semitism on campus, and we'll have no anti-Semitism attacking public buildings, public officials. If you do it and you're a student, your student visa gets pulled and you get expelled and you get deported. If you're a professor and you're here on a visa, it gets pulled and you get exported. If, on the other hand, you're an American citizen, do it, you get fired. This is very similar to the Nazification of German universities that started in 1932 and culminated in Kristallnacht in 1938. Of course, years later, Hitler invaded Poland and started World War II. We didn't get into World War II until 2 years later, 1941, when the Japanese bombed us at Pearl Harbor. This is a very fraught time, and failure to do some of the things I've just described is going to result in people like Donald Trump and people in the Republican Party taking far harsher measures and using them as a disguise to gradually turn our society into a fascist society. We don't want that. It's absolutely imperative that liberal Democrats, I'm a Kennedy Democrat, former chairman of the party, tell it like it is. People are welcome. Their cultures are welcome. But violence is not welcome. Anti-Semitism is not welcome. And the Nazification of our universities is not welcome. Coming up, some good news. Joe Biden signs the continuing resolution after it is flown to him in San Francisco.
Long tongue liar, go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Mino and the Mayor.
Lisa Malik, Local 5 Live. Good morning.
Hi. So nice to be back with you again.
Nice to see you. How come you never have me on your co-host, your TV show anymore?
If you guys think herding cats is like herding Mino for radio, you should try doing that for 4-minute segments for TV.
Her producer, we're going to just, Lisa, for the love of God, control him this segment.
Mino and the Mayor.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8.
On the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in. And stop.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, some good news, the continuing resolution. And by the way, right now it is 2:30 p.m. It's 3:30 p.m. out in Washington. At midnight tonight, we would have stopped paying our service members because of the Republican obstruction on the budget. Mike Johnson pushed through a continuing resolution with more Democratic votes than Republicans. He had about 209 Democratic votes for it. I think only about 150 some odd Republicans, maybe not even that many. Exactly the right way to do it. Of the 12 appropriation bills, kicked 4 of them ahead till January 19 and the other 8 till February 2nd. A lot more work to be done, but it passed the Senate yesterday. And I had always wondered, you know, Joe Biden is in San Francisco. He has to physically sign it. He can't sign it remotely. He can't have his secretary sign it and put his initials there. He has to sign it. And I was thinking, well, maybe they could send him a PDF of it. And then he could sign that. And then when he got back to Washington, they could file it. Well, no, it turns out he has to sign the original document. He's in San Francisco. So you know what they did? They sent a messenger with the original document on a plane to San Francisco. Joe signs it. Guy flies back with the document. So we're good. We're golden up until January 19 on 4 appropriations and up till February 2nd on the other 8. Now, I'll tell you something. I think if you're advising Mike Johnson, first of all, you're going to say, I don't want you as speaker. You're a nut. You don't believe in the separation of church and state. And it's kind of weird. You say you don't have a checking account or a bank account, and you get a household income of about $305,000 a year, $225,000 of it coming from the government as speaker. They got a direct deposit, I would think. They don't have a guy show up with a raincoat and a paper bag and go, all right, put the money in the bag. I mean, what account does that go in? And none of the press has followed up on that or found out. What account does that go in? So I'd have that conversation. But I'd also say this, look him right in the eye and say, you know, you are a sly little bugger. I'll tell you that. You're smarter than Kevin McCarthy because he did exactly what you did. Exactly what you did. More Democratic votes than Republicans and passed a continuing resolution to kick it over to November 17. And then he lost his head over that. You didn't. And you understand that you're going to run into the same thing on January 19 and on February 2nd. So here's what I think you should do. In your heart of hearts, you know that you have a party full of nuts. You know that. The majority of them are not nuts. You'll get 140 votes, 140, 150 votes. But if you bring it to the floor, you're going to want Democratic votes to put it over. Hakeem Jeffries will get you a couple of hundred of them. And then they're going to call the chair. They're going to say it's vacant. Then they're going to vote against you. And I'm not sure that I could get the Democrats to keep you as speaker. And we need somebody who manages from the center this way. So here's my suggestion. Politics is really theater. I mean, it really is theater. So what you do is initially, and I think you may see him do this, just like he put that thing in for Israel aid and a reduction in the IRS, and that didn't go anywhere. He did that to appeal to the right-wing nutjobs in his party. He's since backed off on that. So I think you have to have a period of time where you stroke the nutjobs. You tickle them behind the ears like cats or dogs, and they purr. And what you do is you put in a budget, you put in these appropriation bills with a haircut that was not agreed to by McCarthy and Biden. And they'll salivate. They'll say, that's great. And the Democrats will go, that's terrible, terrible. And the crowd in some of these districts, Chip Roy of Texas, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, there's a whole bunch of them. Scott Perry in Pennsylvania, Bob Good in Virginia. They'll strut around and they will say to the rabble, the far right rabble, we got him to do it. He's a good man. But Johnson, just do that for like 10 days. Just do it for like 10 days. And then you go very reluctantly. That's not flying, as if anybody with half a brain would think it would fly by the Democrats in Congress and by Joe Biden and by Chuck Schumer. That's not going anywhere. So most reluctantly, I'm going to have to give a full budget as agreed to by Biden and McCarthy. And I'll say to him, Johnson, you do understand that by doing this stuff, you've raised the interest rate we pay on bonds. We pay billions more in interest. So don't do it for too long. Then come out for a budget that goes to the end of the fiscal year. The end of the fiscal year. And at the limits that were agreed to by Biden and McCarthy back in May. And something else. This time, add full Israel aid and full Ukraine aid with absolutely no poison pills. And in his heart of hearts, in this hypothetical conversation, he would go, okay, but there's one poison pill that I think I got to have. And the Senate said that they won't agree to this unless they have it. And I say, what is that? And he says, we need a change in our border policy. Not just money. Yes, we need money down there. But we also need a change in the number of people that can come into the country simply voluntarily on their own, say the magic word asylum, and get released into the United States and never come back. That's got to change. And I'll tell you what, if I were Hakeem Jeffries, if I were Chuck Schumer, and frankly, if I were Joe Biden, I'd say, I understand. I may not give you everything you want on that, but there, that kind of change in border policy to get control of the border does have to be done. I think it would help Joe Biden in this race. I think it would help the Democratic Party in this race. I think it's the right thing to do. And then Johnson could get up on his hind legs sometime in the House and go, okay, I won. Yes, I'm going to fully fund the government according to the deal till the end of the fiscal year. But they caved. They caved on border policy. And then Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries can cast their eyes downward, smirking the whole time, because they'll have kept the government open at the agreed upon levels, and they'll have made one policy change that, in my view, is the right policy change. And that will benefit Joe Biden and our congressional and Senate candidates in 2024. Coming up, I want to tell you what, coming up, news, weather, and very serious developments in the George Santos expulsion.
Stops my mind from wondering where it will go, where it will go.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Environmentalists are urging Governor Evers to stop a land swap to create a new luxury golf course on the shore of Lake Michigan. Two groups say the proposed exchange would set a bad precedent for state parks and protected lands. The plan would take 5 acres from the Kohler-André State Park. Opponents say it would damage the shoreline environment. Supporters say a new golf course would bring economic development. Flu, COVID-19, and RSV are on the rise in Wisconsin. Health officials are urging people to get vaccinated. The Department of Health Services says hospital admissions for flu and RSV nearly doubled this week from last week. COVID-19 hospitalizations are also up slightly this month. Fewer than 1 in 4 people in Wisconsin have had the flu shot, and only 9% have had this year's COVID booster. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Green Bay to Chicago by train is closer to becoming a reality. In a recent report by NBC 26, Amtrak says expansion can happen once they solve some logistical issues. Thanks to the infrastructure bill that passed in 2021, billions of federal dollars are available for the project and would cover up to 80% of the costs. Local or state governments or Amtrak would need to pony up the remaining 20%. It might also require cooperation from other railways who own tracks that might be needed. Currently, the Hiawatha route ends in Milwaukee, but if expanded, would offer stops in Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, and Appleton before its final stop in Green Bay. Farm equipment is at fault for a 4-acre fire on Thursday afternoon, so say authorities in Manitowoc County. Keel Fire and Rescue says they got a call to County Road X and Wilkie Lake Road after a cornfield caught fire in the town of Schleswig. 4 total acres of field and woods were burned. No one was injured. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
College hoops tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Head coach Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team will be at home tonight in the Kohl Center, taking on a team from Pennsylvania, Robert Morris University. The Badgers now 1-2 for the season after losses to Tennessee and the other night at Providence. Also in Madison, Camp Randall busy today with the final WIAA State Football Championships, Divisions 1, 2, and 3, competing for the state tournament trophy. NFL, Packers host the Chargers on Sunday, the kickoff at noon. Green Bay will be wearing those green jerseys with gold numbers from the 1950s that have been so popular the past 3 years. After a slow start, Packers running back A.J. Dillon seems to be back to his old self, Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I think he's done a much better job in terms of running with better pad level, finishing forward, breaking tackles. Certainly, I think that's going to be a big key in this game. I think, you know, you look at the Chargers.
That's the Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Ample sunshine expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 44. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear skies again, tonight lows around 30. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow, highs level off around 51. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 43.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the ethics investigation into George Santos took a turn And I'm convinced now that before this month is over, he's going to be expelled. He's going to be expelled from the Congress. Here's what happened. They finished their investigation yesterday. They issued a report. And one of the co-chairmen, Michael Guest, a Republican from Mississippi, Michael Guest, said, quote, "The evidence uncovered in the Ethics Committee investigation is more than sufficient to warrant punishment. And the most appropriate punishment is expulsion," end quote. And they also referred their findings to the Department of Justice, recommending new charges against George Santos. This has happened five times before in the history of the Congress, an expulsion of a sitting congressman, three times in the Civil War, for congressmen who were fighting for the Confederacy, but twice for fraud, most recently in 2002. Santos's response: "This is a disgusting political smear." We're going to go to the lines and then finish up the segment. Matt of Middleton, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, Matt of Middleton?
Hey, Matt, I appreciate what you do. You mentioned violence earlier, and I've been thinking a lot since Donald Trump, just about violence in America and the fact that, like, my dad always said that America was like the teenager of the countries, like we're younger. And other countries, I don't think, would have reacted to the insurrection the way we have. And I think part of that is because we accept violence here more than other countries. And another thing that made me think of this is just I like to watch British detective shows. And there's a lot less violence in there than American television in our detective shows. So do you think, and all the mass shootings we have here and the way we react to that, do you think that the reason we accept violence here is because of our history and the fact that we're a young country and we're formed by all these groups with a lot of fighting through the generations? Or do you think, like what is it, do you think, that makes America so acceptant of violence? Like, other countries would not have reacted to that way, and they wouldn't have accepted all the gun violence and stuff. So I just wondered what you thought. And Donald Trump's the first politician in my lifetime that openly talks about violence and actually would like his supporters to act out violence. And that seems to be accepted too. So I'm just wondering what you think of that, and if you think America will ever grow out of that, or do you think it's just part of our history and it's here to stay?
You know, that's a very, very profound statement, what you just said. And it's a profound historical insight. I want to build on that. It's very, very important. I think your dad was right. It's kind of a neat phrase, we're the teenagers of the countries. But if you look at, say, Great Britain, I mean, their history goes back over 1,000 years, really. France, the same. Germany didn't really become a unified country until the 19th century. But as a matter of fact, long before that, you know, the Holy Roman Emperor was essentially German. All the other countries, Spain goes back 1,000 years. And I think a lot of them sort of got it out of their system. There was plenty of violence in all those countries. But now, the reason they were able to come together as a European Union, and even though Britain got out of it, they basically are playing along with it, and in NATO, is that they have basically exhausted themselves with violence, seen what it can do, and the violence that's occurring now is basically immigrant populations that are coming in that they've allowed to come in. In the United States, there was a great historian, and believe it or not, he was at the University of Wisconsin, Madison, named Frederick Jackson Turner, about 90 years ago. He came up with a theory that basically the definition of the American nation and the thing that may have impacted it the most was the expansion into the West. Now, remember something, these European countries are tiny compared to ours. The population of Europe is roughly the population of the United States. Our landmass is bigger than theirs. So what you have is, You have cowboys riding all over the West in the 19th century with a gun and a little food. And the law, yeah, there were laws, but the law was also your gun. And a lot of those states are huge. Look at Montana, look at Idaho. They're huge with very few people. And the idea is self-sufficiency, individuality, which if you're in Europe, in the large cities all packed in, is not sustainable. I think it's also true that Donald Trump is the first president since the Civil War, who has, in a sense, advocated violence and suggested we may have to come to it. And he's been poisonous. Take a look at this Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma, threatening to beat up a union leader in a Senate hearing room. Tell him to stop running your mouth. We'll settle it right here. This is punk talk, thug talk. And this idiot's going to be coming here to Milwaukee in July at the upcoming convention. So before I get to the lines right now, I see the other callers. I'd say this, that's a very good call. It's a profound call that you just had, because there is mass gun violence, the whole urge to have guns. People in Europe don't have an urge to have guns. They don't want guns. They don't want, if you're in Paris or London or Rome or Madrid, and you're in tiny confined spaces, you don't want people walking around pulling a gun on you. But there they have resolved their national boundaries. We, in this country, I mean, we were founded basically 1788, and then George Washington was elected the first president in 1788. That's not too long ago when you think of the European countries that go back 1,000 years. So, I think it has a lot to do with population, size, and history. And I really would recommend the works of Frederick Jackson Turner, even though you may say, well, I don't read history. Just look them up. Frederick Jackson Turner, pick out one of his best known works and a short work and just read it. And I think you will come to agreement with him, as I have, that a lot of the definitional aspects of our national character have been involved in the settlement of the West. Thanks a lot for calling. Mike of Menominee Falls, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Mike?
Hey, Matt. How are you today? Thanks for taking my call. First, before I answer my question, I just want to respond to that previous caller. Our country was founded on violence. It was called the Revolutionary War, when the British wanted us to put down our arms, and we said, forget that. So this country was founded on violence. My question I have for you, Matt, is do you think that, and I want you to tell your viewers, or excuse me, your listeners, do you think that Gavin Newsom is going to be on the ticket for 2024? Polls show that Biden is declining. Everything shows that Biden is declining in the polls. And I don't think it's possible for them to remove Kamala Harris from the ticket. She's an African-American female. That just goes against everything out of the Democratic playbook. So I want to know, what do you think the ticket's going to look like for the Democratic Party in 2024? And is Gavin Newsom running a shadow campaign? There's absolutely no reason for a governor of a state in the United States to be hosting President Xi, which is our biggest adversary to the West. So thank you. I'll hang up and respond. Listen to your response.
Yeah, that's an excellent call. I'll tell you my view. I mean, of course, I'm not close to Gavin Newsom. I've never met him. I admire him. I think he's a good governor. But here's my view. I personally think that the strongest candidate that we could nominate, that we must nominate because he can beat Donald Trump, is Joe Biden. I think if you look at it analytically, Joe Biden, first of all, has done a superb job without having, in many cases, a majority in either of the houses, and then a slight majority in the Senate, just by dint of experience, wisdom, personality, and having been involved in this business for 51 years, he pushed through not just hard infrastructure, soft infrastructure, the CHIPS Act, and other things. But he also, he's re-energized our alliances around the world. He's kept NATO together and put plenty of morale and enthusiasm in him. He has stood up for Ukraine and kept the Russians at bay. He's standing up for Israel when they were sadistically attacked by Islamic Jihad and Hamas. He's standing up for our partners in the Pacific, especially Japan, South Korea, and Australia, but even Vietnam and the Philippines against Chinese incursion. And yet he's courteous and sort of grandfatherly when he meets these people. He was a great athlete in high school. He's a big guy. Xi of China is a tall man, and Biden's an inch or two taller than he is. And it's clear that Biden dominated that summit. He got agreement on fentanyl, stopping the export of chemicals. Xi has shut down one of their factories who wouldn't obey him about not sending the chemicals. Little things. Xi now is going to send more. This is great. More pandas to the United States. I love pandas. I really do love pandas. But on top of that, there'll be military connections. And Xi has said his economy is in trouble. He does not want war with the United States. That's a magnificent achievement of Joe Biden. So as much as I like Gavin Newsom is very, very young. In 2028, Joe Biden won't be able to run again. Gavin Newsom can and should run them. As far as Kamala Harris is concerned, I like Kamala Harris. I will say that she is taking a beating in the polls. And in a perfect world, if somebody came to me and said, Matt, if Joe Biden could snap his fingers and put Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, in and put Kamala Harris in a judgeship some way, would you be happy? I'd say, you know, yeah, I mean, if that might be a good thing. I think a lot about Lloyd Austin. I think he's an absolutely outstanding individual. I think that's not going to happen. But the other thing is, you can't underestimate Donald Trump against anyone else. Joe Biden beat Donald Trump. He beat him. He beat him by 7 million popular votes and about, let's see, something like 60 electoral votes. In the polls right now, because Joe Biden is in the hot seat in, you know, Ukraine, in Israel, Gaza, he's in the hot seat economically and everything. But remember, he just was part of jawboning the big three automakers into a terrific contract with the auto workers, major industry in this country. He is able to charm the birds off the trees. I mean, he really is. I mean, he works with Musk, with Mitch McConnell. He works with anybody. So he worked with Kevin McCarthy back in May. He snowed him. Kevin McCarthy did the right thing. So I do not want anybody else in there, believe me, other than Joe Biden. You can't substitute experience and wisdom. We are flying through a thunderstorm right now. Think of the country as a large passenger jet. I want a pilot with gray hair. I don't want a young pilot. I want a pilot with gray hair who knows all these people, who's worked with them all. They basically like him. Republicans in the legislature like him. He's honest and he does the right thing. Inflation is on the way down to the point where it's disappeared. The fact is that unemployment is the lowest in 60 years, 6-0. So do not change pilots in the middle of a thunderstorm. Do not change pilots in the middle of a thunderstorm. Okay, I see you on the lines. I want you to stay on the line until we hit some other things. What is coming up? What is coming up is Trump loses a motion, an important motion, the E. Jean Carroll case. Coming up, and I will get to the lines.
Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Blood in the streets, it's up to my knees.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe. That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Jahnke on WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
In Greenfield, visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, WA.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2782. Now we go to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jean, what's in your mind today?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Great show, as usual, Matt. And, you know, anybody who says Joe Biden is failing, turn, put your hands over your ears and go blah, 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 blah. Because Joe Biden is succeeding. He is a person that listened to the American citizens and continue to listen to the people in the United States, what they need. He works for us. He doesn't work for corporations. He doesn't work for the billionaires. He's getting our streets and roads and bridges taken care of. He's getting internet to people that need it. He's working every day for us. And that odd duck with the orange face and orange hair is a taker, a thief, and a convict, as far as I'm concerned, watching all of the evidence and trying to even steal the election, a liar and a thief and a fraud. Is that what you want? Boy, you know, you guys, this is a difficult choice for you. We're in big trouble in our country. It's good versus evil. It's honesty versus a fraud. And it's somebody that works for us every day, all the time. He'll sit there and... He's always picking on me, little wah, 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 wah. And the police are after me. And, oh, boy, they want to steal election again when he was one that was an election thief. Oh, please, folks, don't even bring that stuff up. It makes me just shiver, I think. Where are the American people's heads at? Thank you very much, Matt. And you have a great weekend. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Gene. That's really a great call. And let me tell you something else. You really nailed it, because Joe Biden is doing an excellent job. What he has done, what he's accomplished with our allies in NATO against Russia, in the Middle East against Islamic Jihad and Hamas in the Pacific, has been amazing. And if you take a look at the economy, there are plenty of jobs open. Wages are going up higher than inflation. There's not much more you could ask anybody to do. And simply people look and they go, well, yeah, I know him and I know Trump, and he has all these hot button issues, and Trump isn't facing any hot button issues except his own criminal issues. But what the heck? Trump's not going to beat Joe Biden. My fear is that and Joe Biden's not going to be beaten in a primary. I do not want him to say, heck, I'm going to hang it up and open it for primary. And let's say Gavin Newsom is nominated. He's a very good guy. But in general, when you have a young guy like that, and an example would have been, say, Jack Kennedy in 1960 or Bill Clinton in 1992. Yes, they went on to be great presidents, but neither one of them was coming into a circumstance in our country that was this perilous. And I get back to it, it'd be as if in the ship, we're on the outskirts of a gale, we're taking green water over the forecastle, the bow of the ship goes up and then it goes down underwater. You're standing on the bridge, it's all secured under, you know, you're seeing green water. I do not want somebody coming on going, okay, we're going to replace the captain. Okay. That ain't going to happen. I'll tell you that right now. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling Western United. Bob of Madison.
Hear about, you know, why the conflict in the economy, the perception and the reality are separated. And I think it goes back to the 2021 year, the first year when we went back to work after the pandemic. The unemployment rates shot up four times as high. I mean, the unemployment benefits shot up to about 800,000 instead of 200,000. And that means there's a lot of churning because they got new jobs, they got new pay. But, you know, according to the psychological stress scale, you lose 40 points for getting a new job, and you lose another 40 points if you move to get a new job. So that's 80 points. That's almost like a divorce or loss of a spouse, which are the number one and number two psychological stressors, and those are the three and four, the other two. So when you got a whole society suffering like that, they may have gotten better and they feel good about their personal situation, but they think, but they're kind of shook up because of all the adjustments going on. And that's why they think the economy is not so good.
Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting call. And you obviously know a great deal about psychological stressors, and that was interesting information. And it is true that anytime there are individual stressors, and then you can extrapolate that to societal stressors. And obviously societal stressors have things having to do with the military and war, but also the pandemic itself is a societal stressor. And Biden won in 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic. And, you know, he was elected November of 2020 before vaccines were generally available to the general public. They didn't become available till roughly January. There were a few in December. People were at home. People's relationships were cut short. There were more suicides. And it was a stressful point. And he came in, and then gradually we've come out of it. Now people kind of like working at home. A lot of employers are going, you got to come in 3 days a week. And people are going, I'm not going to do it. And everything is changing in terms of workplace culture. Everything is changing. Going down to, for instance, let's say you owned a small restaurant downtown Milwaukee and you were dependent on the lunch trade. There's no one going to lunch because there's no one there. And then you got to come up with something different. So we are going through some stressors as a society. And I agree with you, Bob, on the individual stressors. That was a point well taken, where we're still sorting it out. And none of that's Joe Biden's fault or the Republicans' fault or anybody else's fault. But you deal with it. And what I'm saying is, and I think really the core of this is, when you talk about polls, and here we're talking about polls before an election next November. In other words, almost 365 days, just a little over now, basically 51 weeks. Throughout history, throughout polling history, they have shown virtually no correlation. The definition of Trump has not yet come up. You and I know what it is. You're listening to this station, but the average person hasn't seen a lot of TV point out everything he's done. So I'm very, very confident about Joe and his chances in 2024. Okay, coming up, plenty of news, plenty of weather, and 35,000 public employees in Wisconsin get no raise. What is the impact of that?
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Menards 11% sale ends Thanksgiving Day. Renovate your kitchen with new cabinets from Cardell. Ready to install and featuring a modern look.
Cardell Cabinets give your kitchen a new feel. All Cardell Designer and Cornerstone Cabinets are on sale. Plus, 11% off. Stores close Thanksgiving, but 11% off remains in effect on Menards.com. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.